God of our forebears, who paved the way for our being in this place, help us now to give up complacency, truly love one another, and hunger and thirst after righteousness. As we come to you, may your bread of heaven and cup of salvation feed our souls with peace and unspeakable joy. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In 1973, Warner Brothers produced a film based upon a novel of a true story of a 14-year-old believed to be possessed by a demon in the 1940s. Advertised as the scariest movie of all time, this film, The Exorcist, promised to scare the hell out of you, and by all accounts, it delivered. For those who had a penchant for horror films, The Exorcist could be viewed as a slam dunk of this genre. Linda Blair gave a stunning performance as the demon-possessed teenager Reagan, whose mother contacted priests to perform an exorcism on her daughter so that she would be delivered from these unclean spirits. With 10 Academy Award nominations and 2 Oscars, The Exorcist rose as one of the top earning movies of all times, grossing $441 million worldwide. Even for those of us too scared or too young to see the film, we heard stories about moving furniture, convulsions, pandemonium, and most of all, Linda Blair's spinning head. Those watching and reading about this behavior portrayed in the film further reflected on real-life situations, wondering about the supernatural, the paranormal, or unclean spirits and evil powers in the world. The film allowed for public discourse on how such behavior should be interpreted. A manifestation of an unclean spirit in a body, or simply an epileptic seizure or loss of mental and ego strength, creating a psychological disorder of schizophrenia and psychotic behavior. As a pastoral theologian trained in religion and psychology, and currently writing a book about the possibilities of a deranged diabolical personality of cult leader Jim Jones, I find these questions, issues, and today's gospel quite intriguing. While psychological disorders are certainly identified in the modern 21st century, it is a labeling foreign to the pre-social scientific ancient Near Eastern world that produced our story today in St. Mark's gospel. This is a story about a man with an unclean spirit exhibiting similar behavior to Reagan in The Exorcist. In both cases, the community's report is that they possessed unclean spirits within them. Our passage begins with Jesus in Capernaum, a community in northwest Galilee, the center of his Galilean ministry. Here we find that Jesus is viewed as one having authority. Mark notes that Jesus is understood by this community as different from the scribes. The scribes were the men who studied the Torah and then offered an interpretation of their study to the Hebrew community. Unlike the scribes, Jesus had a different style and often a different paradigm, imparting wisdom in clear and compelling ways. He possessed a personal authority, which I can imagine as a commanding presence with boldness and passion, exuding warmth and demanding attention. And there was something about Jesus that moved people to know that they were in the presence of the divine. Here, the unclean spirit identifies him as the Holy One of God. And the story goes, Jesus comes into the synagogue and he's doing his thing teaching, and this man appears. The 23rd verse reads, "Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And this unclean spirit cries out, 'What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.'" We're not given background on this man. We do not know if he had been a part of this community or just showed up this particular Sabbath. Or did he appear when he recognized that Jesus had a power that was different, a power that could change his life? We know two things. One, that the Spirit identified Jesus, and two, that Jesus could destroy what Mark identifies as an unclean spirit. Jesus makes himself available and says seven words to the unclean spirit: "Be silent and come out of him." After convulsing and crying with a loud voice, the unclean spirit comes out of the man. This man who stood in need of healing, perhaps wrestling with his fears, allowed Jesus to deliver him from this evil. In other places in the gospel narratives, Jesus encounters demoniacs and delivers them from their unclean spirits. Although it is unclear the extent of destruction caused by unclean spirits, biblical scholars tend to agree that the community here found these spirits disruptive to the individual and to the community. Thus, we can conclude that what is present is unhealthy, some power that is identified with an evil or destructive force within this man. We can conclude this by Jesus' action to deliver or call this spirit out of him. In this respect, Jesus is the exorcist of the unclean spirit. Throughout history and in our contemporary church and society, we know that mental illness and difference in general have often been defined as evil. In light of this community's understanding, it is necessary that we avoid thinking of mental illness as evil, or that those suffering with mental illness are more prone to commit evil acts than those declaring ourselves mentally healthy. And I might add that simply declaring sanity does not necessarily make it so. Moreover, I do believe that there is evil in our world. The confession of sin in our prayer book recognizes this fallen state that we live in. And we come every week for God to forgive us for the evil that we have done and the evil done on our behalf. For when we look around in our very broken world, we can understand that there is something wrong with our gun-obsessed, violent culture where our children are not always safe at or traveling to and from school. When death threats are made to an athlete for fumbling a football during Super Bowl playoffs, or a religion that leads a mother to say that she wished she had aborted her gay son, a father viewing his daughters as whores and killing them, and planes being flown into buildings, killing thousands of people, unclean spirits that cause us so much pain and suffering. So in our communities, our environment, our world, there are unclean spirits, evil around us. The gospel is a metaphor for us today, and we all come this morning in our brokenness and imperfections with unclean spirits, recognizing the Holy One. When we recognize the power of our Lord and allow ourselves to encounter divinity, we are no longer the same. The gospel story tells us that the unclean spirit came out of the man. So this is an invitation for us to make ourselves vulnerable, coming with our fears, insecurities, our issues and isms, all our imperfections, convulsions, sins, those things that divide and harm us as the body of Christ, and be made whole. For when we are changed for the better, we change our community and our world. In the early 1800s, an English woman and member of the Church of England spent years doing soul searching, trying to establish a relationship with her God. In addition to suffering with physical illnesses, she often felt down from what she considered her sinful habits, unclean spirits, and consequently had low self-worth. In our society, she would be identified as clinically depressed. Despite her debilitated mental and physical states, she persevered for a meaningful faith. One evening, as she was having supper with friends in East London, she met a clergyman who expressed that he hoped she was a Christian. This statement offended this woman who had struggled with feeling unworthy to receive salvation. 3 weeks later, she encountered the minister again and shared with him that ever since his statement about whether she was a Christian, she had been trying to receive Jesus as Savior in her life, but had not been successful. She expressed to him that she wanted to hear from him what she needed to do. The minister simply said, "Just come to him as you are." This woman, Charlotte Elliott, a writer and poet, did just that. And one day she sat down and began to write these words. "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come." And then she went on to write in another verse speaking to us today, "Just as I am, thou will receive, will welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. Because thy promise, you Lord Jesus, I believe. O Lamb of God, I come, I come." These are the lyrics to one of the great hymns of the church, "Just as I am." Although this was written in 1835, the meaning is just as true today as it was the day the Anglican Elliot wrote them. The demoniac is a witness to us that whatever we are carrying inside, whatever illness, disappointment, broken relationship, crisis, or struggle that we may not even be able to admit to ourselves. Today we can be like the man in the gospel and Eliot and go to the Holy One who cleanses us. For we all are broken in some way from the frailties in this human condition. Most of us have found ourselves in a place that we had not envisioned we would ever be. And we come here today with broken dreams, broken bodies, broken souls, praying to our God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the exorcist, to be changed. The good news is that we have an opportunity to release all those things that cause convulsions and crises and chaos in our lives. And the power of the Spirit can work in ways more than we can imagine, giving us clean hearts to experience the best of what this life can offer. When we release our fears that things cannot be better, that we cannot be better, that we cannot do better, and allow Jesus to remove all that is unclean from our lives, we can experience new life. This is the gospel message today that calls us into rejoicing as a people healed from what is unclean. As God's people, we have been promised in the Holy Scriptures that when we humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways, then God will forgive our sins and heal our land. So we can leave here today knowing that we can release all these things in our lives that are unclean, knowing that our minds, bodies, and souls are cleansed and made whole. So we can say, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia, and amen.